Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us this morning. Joining us this time in studio, kind of a rare treat. I love having him in studio. Mike Wood, a close friend. How long have I known you now? 11 years? 10 years? As long as we've been here, pretty much.
Yeah, I think it's about 10 years.
Going back to the Making Strides Against Cancer walk. And your great rap performance that made viral entertainment at the time. Anyway, so Mike is here in studio with me. He's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Good morning. Well, I'm glad to be here, and I bring gifts.
I know. I love that you brought us donuts. I feel like it's a reverse, you know, instead of us bringing you donuts, you brought us donuts. But anyway, let's start with the big news from yesterday. We had this fire at Jay and Cervantes, and my understanding, please confirm or disconfirm, whatever, is that there may have been also a shot spotter alert before the fire. There was one person found deceased. That's the extent of what I know. What do you know?
Yeah, that's about right. That we did have a shot spotter activation very close to that location. We can't say for sure if it's related or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's going to be an autopsy done on the victim, and then hopefully we'll know more after that. But right now, we just know that there were no utilities attached to that building. And
so it's an abandoned building?
Yes, it's an abandoned body shop.
Okay.
So, and there was bedding in there. When I say bedding, there was a bed, so it appears somebody had been living there.
Okay.
And, so we got a lot of work to do on that one.
Okay, so at this point, all we do know is that there was a person found deceased in the fire, cause of death, whether there was any kind of foul play, what, if at all, connection with the shot spotter, all of those things, we just don't know.
No, we don't.
So okay.
We've got a lot of investigators, as well as the state attorney's office, the medical examiner's office, and the state fire marshal, they're all working on this case.
Also yesterday, there was a chase of some kind, is that right? Or there was, because there were a couple of different things involving cars. I know one with the crash into the community health clinic, but was there another incident as well?
Yeah, it was a busy day yesterday. Yesterday morning, while we were investigating that fire, there was a vehicle that fled and crashed into a pole, or the occupants fled after that crash.
Okay.
And we were able to track them down using a canine and apprehended them. So we had that, and then the incident on 12th Avenue.
The chase, was it in that same part of town, different part of town? We don't know.
That was up on North 9th Avenue near Cokesbury Methodist Church.
So quite a ways away, yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, from where the other one took place. Okay. And then the third thing was the vehicle that crashed, and I believe your text to all of us in the news was, it is now inside the building.
Yeah, it went through the glass in front of the building and went inside. Fortunately, there was no injuries. And it looks like right now that the driver may have had a medical episode.
Okay.
And but there were no injuries to that driver related to the crash.
Well, thank goodness. And nobody inside the building was hurt.
No.
So, yeah, this seems to be – I was wonder whether these things happened in the past and we just didn't hear them, or whether they are new, but the sort of medical event when people are driving – which, of course, is horrifying to imagine for the person, but also horrifying for the rest of us who are, you know, driving across a little yellow line from them at 90 miles an hour closure, and you think, well, I hope that nobody has a heart attack coming at me today. You know, is that more common than it used to be, or is it just we're more aware, or is it just a figment of my imagination?
I don't know if it's more common. I can tell you that several officers and myself were in Sonny's eating lunch one day and heard this incredible crash. And a vehicle drove through the doors of Sonny's on 9th Avenue. So we got to experience that one firsthand. Again, nobody was injured.
Yeah.
It was an older lady who just hit the gas instead of the brake.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of businesses now, you'll see if they have parking spots near the front door, they're putting the bollards up to prevent things like that from happening.
Yeah, and that's another one, the confusion over the pedals thing that sometimes, you know, people who are older have that happen, and which is simultaneously understandable and also horrifying, you know, to imagine. So, and certainly scary for them. So nobody was hurt in that one. That's very good news. Also, you guys had put out some pictures and a video from, was it a week ago? Was it more than a week ago? This battery assault that took place inside the parking garage downtown. What happened here?
Yeah, we're still working on that. There was a gentleman walking back to his truck.
He's an older guy in the 70s,
he's in
right?
The 70s. Okay. He was a young man.
And so, how close are you to retirement?
Yeah, there you go.
the range for words like older and younger starts to shift around you as you progress towards one of the ends, right?
That's exactly right. So this young man was walking to his car in his 70s, and he saw a person leaning on it. He didn't know if he was trying to get in it. Maybe a buddy was in it, and he was the lookout. He just didn't know.
Yeah.
He approached the man, and This suspect began to get aggressive with him, pushed him several times, and one push he fell down and hit his head on the sidewalk. About that time, a friend of his, also a young man in his 70s, 78, was walking up and saw what was going on. He got on the phone to call 911, and the suspect left at that point, was walking away. This person who was on the phone with our dispatchers was following him so officers could see where he was.
Sure.
The individual turned around and struck him in the head several times with his closed fist, causing some pretty good injuries. So none of the injuries on either one were life-threatening, but obviously we are very concerned about this situation. We are working on it. We haven't hit any brick walls with it. Hopefully there'll be an arrest soon, but this sort of thing just can't be tolerated. There was a huge age difference between the two, and we're just glad that they weren't hurt any worse than they were.
Where was this again?
It was in the parking garage, the county parking garage, where the back door to the tag office is.
Oh, okay.
And it happened there. It was the same location where the infamous Christmas tree was stolen a couple of days earlier from Winterfest.
Okay, all right. The parade went off.
We had a few incidents.
Oh,
a fight here or there.
Okay.
I think there was one arrest made, but other than that, no injuries, nobody. Over the barricade problems, we didn't have that, so it went well.
The motorcycle cops didn't run into each other?
No, it's always a good
thing. I was watching the ECSO and PPD do their circles at the Palafox and Garden, and I was watching, and there was one moment where I thought I saw one of the bikes wiggle in a way that did not seem to be the correct way, and I thought, but you know, all's good. It's all's good.
Those guys are very good at what they do.
Yeah, no,
they are. But
were you ever a bike cop?
No, never had a desire to do that. Police work is dangerous enough on four wheels.
Very good.
But the guys that do it, they love it.
Oh yeah,
you would be it'd be a tough job to be able to take, you know, try to take that bike away from them. They love it, and it's a great thing for law enforcement.
Well, and even when motorcycles are dangerous, things go wrong. Officer Budden, you know, got hit a couple of years ago, and he's back on a motorcycle.
He's back.
Yeah, they love it, right? So, the mayor had mentioned yesterday that the graffiti bridge warning system, at least the southern side of it, was likely, John, correct me if I'm wrong, he said Q1, right? He said first quarter of the new year they're going to start installing that with lasers and and other devices. That's my saying it that way, not him saying it that way. But from a PPD perspective, this is all good, right?
Yeah, we would like to see and as fun as some people have with it, with these trucks going underneath it, we would like to see that stop. That causes a lot of damage. It clogs up the roadway. And if we can finally get that problem solved, it's going to be a great day.
You know what we need. And I honestly, we should have this with or without the early warning system. I can't believe I never thought about this before. 23 days, strike free. We should have a safety billboard. How many days since the last graffiti bridge strike? And
well, somebody would have to keep up with that. That's a full time job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have the folks who run the graffiti bridge web, you know, Facebook page. I mean, they're perfectly capable. I think that's something we ought to have that we do not have at this point. Just one last thing before we get to your cop myth, or did you know? We've had a lot of conversation about the new law going in with the license plate obscuring, and it always seemed pretty straightforward to me that the only thing that would make sense is as long as the decal and the letters are visible, nothing else really matters. That's the interpretation, right?
Yeah,
that just put out the other day.
Yeah, once we talked about it the first time, I got more calls than I have in a long time.
Sorry.
On people opposing this, and it's understandable. So the state came out on the 12th with some clarification. It's clarification that we were very glad to get and push out as quickly as we could. And so now if the frame that you put on there covers up the bottom portion where it says Escambia, Santa Rosa, Sunshine State.
In God
State,
We Trust, whatever.
Yeah, whatever it says down there, if that's covered up, okay, that's fine. Even the top, if it goes down a little bit on the state of Florida, as long as the officer can see what state that vehicle is from, you're okay. But what cannot be obscured in any way is the decal and the license plate number itself. The main violators of that are the ones who put tint over the tag.
Okay. The real issue is people who are trying to make it so their plate can't be read by a camera or something
right.
like that.
Right. Even clear tint, you can't do that because that can create a glare.
Okay.
So don't put anything over the tag and make sure that we can see the Florida at the top. It can be a little bit covered, but as long as we can tell which state it's from, and Florida officers have no problem with that. But,
right.
If you come in from out of state and that tag, the state is covered up or partially covered, it could be an issue. So as long as we can see the decal and the tag number, you're in good shape.
So it can say Roll Tide or WDE or, you know, Go Noles, as long as it also says, you know, 438AHJ, and you can see the little yellow sticker that has the, you know, the date on it, basically.
Exactly. That's what we need.
Hey, I'm just, this is because my brain works this way. The state is considering getting rid of the stickers. Mm-hmm. And going to a purely database system where you don't have to have a physical sticker that you update on your car. But John and I were talking about this. The old idea was that people would steal those registration stickers off of cars. They'd peel them off of cars. And so one deterrent was to, you know, razor blade them so that they're very hard to take or whatever. Does that happen very often?
It does. Well, it happens.
Okay.
The tags are...
The registration,
the decal.
Thank you.
It happens often enough that we have a what's called a code for it, where we track those thefts. Yeah, so that does happen.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. We always like to end with a myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
I do. And before I begin, the Die Hard series, those are Christmas movies for anybody that had any doubt.
Of course they are. It's set at Christmas. It's about a homecoming. They play Christmas music. There's a Christmas party. Of course it's a Christmas movie.
It is. And from this movie, and this is going to come, this is for radio geeks, and I at one time was known as one of those, and I'm talking about handheld two-way radios. They were used heavily in the first Die Hard. Those were Kenwood TH-21BT radios, and for the guys that study this stuff, they are very, very hard to find, and if you do find one, they're very expensive. The myth, or what was so wrong with that, was you could just talk to anybody. You could pick up that radio and talk to LA Dispatch. You could talk to John McClane was able to talk to the officers and the bad guys at the same time. To do that, you would have to have what's a citizen's band, the old citizen's band type radio, because they referred to Channel 9 a bunch. That can't happen. These are FM radios with the UHF, VHF band. That was not possible. That's something that I guess the folks that made the movie didn't think about or ignored, but you can't talk to everybody.
It doesn't. It's just not like an open channel. It's only for the ones that they're specifically connected to or whatever, so... Okay, so when John McClane takes one off the body of a terrorist and then talks to Hans Gruber, that could happen.
That could happen.
But just, you know, talking to Roy outside, who backed his car off the ledge into the Circle K.
Right, and talking to LA Dispatch. Yeah. That's the problem. That's where, that wasn't real.
Way to show us that sometimes movies are not 100% realistic, Mike. way to ruin Christmas,
sorry,
Mr. Grinchy. I mean...
The two-way radio guys that love this stuff, they're with me on this, and everybody else is probably like, what?
All right, fair enough.
Circuits that cannot be cut are cut automatically in response to a terrorist incident. You ask for miracles, dear. I give you the FBI.
Or the Kenwood radio.
How do you do that?
As the case may be. Mike, thanks as always for the time. Merry Christmas, sir. Have a great new year. We'll see you in a little bit.
Merry Christmas.